The WBAI Bylaws Revision Committee meeting has been rescheduled. This week, the committee will be meeting on Thursday, May 9th at 6:30 p.m. at DC 1707, 75 Varick Street. We'll be continuing the discussion of various proposals pertaining to the lab, its functions, and responsibilities. So, mark your calendars. The Bylaws Revision Committee's new meeting date and time will be Thursday, May 9th, 6:30 p.m., 75 Varick Street. Be there. And don't forget, whose station? Our station. Join us on Thursday to help keep it that way.
How about now? Ah, there we go. Okay, some lame brain left the all these buttons I've never used in a different position. Okay, well, this is WBAI in New York. Sorry for all the silence, which I assume is what it was. It's 8 o'clock, Tuesday evening, time for Off the Hook.
Guest list tonight.
And a good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Hook. And it's another Tuesday night. And just to let everybody know right off the top of the bat, this Tuesday night, we're doing a normal show. Well, as normal as we can get anyway. Next Tuesday, however, next Tuesday is going to be interesting because we have a three-hour show, which starts, yes, it's marathon timing. It's time for us to raise money to keep this this amazing fantasy we call Off the Hook on WBAI alive. Yeah, not just, a dream, but actually a reality. And that's the only way that happens is through listener support. And yeah, it all starts yet again. Next week, we'll be on at 7 o'clock, running until 10. But that's not all. After 10 o'clock, we're joining forces with the folks over at Nuff Said and going all the way till midnight. So it's going to be a pretty exhausting night for all of us. But we know that our listeners will come forth and help us out.
That makes 5 hours.
And you being a college person would be in the key position to be able to do that calculation while I was speaking. And yeah, thanks for giving us that information. It's 5 hours, you're right. Five long, grueling hours. It's just as hard on the listeners as it is on us. So it's going to be It's going to be fun. It's going to be memorable. Historic, even. Yeah. Hey, guys, guess where I was this weekend? Actually, me and AutoJack were in Cambridge, Massachusetts, with the 2600 van.
Yes, we were.
Yeah, and that was an experience, because people kept coming up to the van and saying, hey, you guys are great. I listen to Off the Hook. I read 2600 Magazine. I do all this, the stuff that, I'm into all the stuff that you guys are doing. And it's just weird to have people coming up on the street. I mean, New York, they don't do that. I guess they know us already. But it's just kind of neat to go to a different city and have people actually see the van, know what the magazine is, know what the show is, and be interested in it. It's really a good shot in the arm. I'm hoping to make it out to Dayton again at the Hamvention that they have once a year. Really, really big, huge event. I think something in excess of 50,000 people show up, all trading various radio components. Just imagine, tens of thousands of Bernie S's out there. That's pretty much what you have for a weekend in the middle of Ohio. And while that might drive some people crazy, it also is invigorating through others. And it's something that I like to try and attend whenever I can. Hopefully the 2600 van will be able to make it to that. Hasn't quite announced its intentions yet, but we'll see. And if that's the case, we'll be passing through all kinds of little villages in the Midwest and having people walk up to us and say, get out of town, that kind of thing. We'll see. Anything interesting happening over with you guys?
No.
No. Didn't you just go on strike or something? I heard you saying you were on strike. What does that mean?
A week ago on Monday, mm-hmm. the teaching and research assistants up at Columbia went on a one-day strike because the university is refusing even to count the votes in a union election that we held a while ago.
So this is just like, some third world nation, or perhaps the United States, where the votes aren't counted properly. They just sort of sit there someplace, isolated, and there's court orders and all kinds of horrible things that have to happen before you even know how the election turned out.
Right.
Wow.
The ballots have been impounded, is what they call it.
Wow. So when's that going to be resolved?
Well, it's one of the... You're familiar with courts, and they can just make up their mind whenever they feel like it.
Was this a referendum, or was this for people running for positions?
It was to decide whether or not they want to have the United Auto Workers as the union representing TAs and RAs.
I won't ask why the United Auto Workers would be representing TAs and RAs. I'm sure it's one of those long explanations that we don't have time for here, but Well,
the summary is it's the same union that won the contract at NYU.
Uh-huh. And they actually won at NYU.
Yeah. Well, they had the same long process. They just started a little earlier. So.
Well, best of luck with that.
Thanks.
Hopefully the strike will turn some heads.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Speaking of turning heads, the creator of the Melissa computer virus turned a whole lot of heads when that showed up in 1999.
Nice segue.
Yeah, thank you. In fact, there have been so many of those since then that, they don't even name them anymore. It's just basically, numbers and letters now. He was sentenced last Wednesday to 20 months in federal prison. I mean, I just can't believe that they'd send somebody to prison for sending email, but apparently that's what they do these days. I wasn't even clear that he sent the email. I know that he posted something on AOL. It's very unclear what exactly this guy did. They say that he caused millions of dollars of damage by disrupting email systems. Well, if that's the case, all the idiots that send junk mail, how many millions of dollars of damage are they causing clogging up people's email? I'd like to know that. I'd like to see some of these companies held accountable for that. But I don't think I want to see any laws and legislation saying, you may not send this kind of a message. But, if you're going to define damage in one way, you have to apply it across the board. There's a lot of crap out there, and sometimes, it's stuff that should be stopped in one way or another. Anyway, David L. Smith, 33 years old, pleaded guilty in December 1999 to a state charge of computer theft and to a federal charge of sending a damaging computer program. In the federal plea, both sides agreed the damage was greater than $80 million. Smith is believed to be among the first person, ever prosecuted for creating a computer virus. In court Wednesday, he called the act a colossal mistake. The Melissa virus, which struck in March 1999, was disguised as an email marked important message from a friend or colleague. It caused computers to send 50 additional infected messages. The volume of messages generated slowed some systems to a crawl. interesting thing, though, is it didn't, as Smith said, the virus did not delete or corrupt anyone's files or data or harm any machines, unlike some of the ones that are circulating now, which delete all kinds of... in fact, the one that has our name on it. And, you know, some idiot sent something out that tells people to visit our website, and we always get mail at least once every couple of days from some irate citizen someplace that says, you've just destroyed my hard drive, simply because they see our name in the title. Those are prevalent. Those are everywhere because it's so easy to write these things. It's so easy to get these things to execute. I think this was an Outlook virus too, was it not?
I think so.
Yeah. So you know, the Outlook viruses have been around for a long time, and they still seem to be very effective because Microsoft is not doing much to fix the problems that Outlook causes. I just don't know what sending David Smith to jail is going to accomplish, except to keep somebody who knows how to program out of circulation for a while and ruin some more lives. He could have faced up to 5 years in prison, but prosecutors suggested a term of about 2 years, saying he had given authorities extensive assistance in thwarting other virus creators. He was also fined $5,000. He was expected to get a similar prison term on Friday when sentenced on a guilty plea to a state charge of computer theft. I'm not sure if that means he gets it at the same time or has to serve 3 more years after. He said he created the virus on computers in his Aberdeen apartment and used a stolen screen name and password to get into America Online. So he's being, just to give you an example of how ridiculous this is, he's being sentenced for breaking into an AOL account with the same penalty as what the Melissa virus did. Now, breaking into an AOL account, some people do that by accident. It's very easy to do. You know, it's not a difficult thing. They send out all those disks everywhere. It's really relatively simple to get on AOL. Writing a computer virus, sending that out, causing millions of dollars of damage, that's, you know, it's a little bit more difficult to do. I mean, it's not that difficult to do. But it's, you know, just to give you an idea of the parallel here, it's really bizarre. Anyway, that's my take on that. What do you think? You think this guy should be imprisoned?
Lock him up.
Really, you think so, huh?
That's your way. Three life sentences.
Uh-huh. Yeah, get all those nasty terrorist types out of circulation.
He's lucky he didn't do this after they passed the Patriot Act.
Yeah, he would have been labeled a terrorist, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. We got a lot of feedback from our encounter with Sprint last week. I was trying to get some information from Sprint last week, as a letter, by the way, about billing problems, and I needed to speak with someone fast. However, I ran into Claire, Sprint's slave labor voice prompt telephone employee. I wonder how many people will be out of work in the future thanks to some AI-type voice prompt computer that can't help you. Anyway, after suffering through endless menus with this damn thing, I finally just said into the phone, "This is a waste of time!" And immediately it said, "Let me get someone to help you." We don't have that number for Claire, do we?
Not on me.
I thought Claire was your best friend, Mike.
No, I don't think so.
I mean, you were all excited a few weeks ago.
I was?
Yeah.
I must have been delusional.
Oh, okay.
So now every time I call Sprint, this is the first thing out of my mouth. Try it. Okay, so those of you with Sprint phones, dial, star 2, and when you get Claire, just say, "This is a waste of time," and see if you get transferred to an operator right away. Of course, you'll waste more time waiting for the operator to pick up, but that's a whole other issue. Let's see now. This person wanted to clarify how easy it is to steal or deactivate someone's Sprint PCS phone. Contrary to what we said last week, according to this person, you do not need the original phone's ESN number. That was a major part of it. All you need is the full name of the registered user, the phone number, and the last 4 SSN digits. New phone activation via the Sprint PCS website requires a 6 to 10 alphanumeric password, but the SSN would still work. If you carefully listen to the rep you talked to on the air, he said you mean from the new phone what we would need is the ESN number. Since most caller ID systems will show both the name and number of a PCS phone, all you need is their SSN, making this almost too easy. Actually, I take exception to that because I've never seen a name of a PCS phone, a name of somebody who owns a PCS phone on caller ID. I've seen the phone number, but I do not see their name. In fact, I don't know of any mobile phone system, cellular phone system, whatever, that would pass that information along. If someone else has this, let me know. There's also no way that I know of to call information and look up somebody's cell phone number. Like if you call 917 information, I don't think you're going to get somebody's cellular phone number. If I don't know why that is. I think it would be a good service to have. Anyway, this is how this person legally did it. A relative of mine had registered a PCS phone for my friend because he was unable to get the credit approval. Naturally, my friend quickly racked up a huge bill. During the same time, my PCS phone was deactivated. Using my deactivated phone, I called Sprint using star 2. When prompted, I entered my friend's phone number. When the operator came on, they asked for my phone number, my name, and the security code. The relative of mine who registered the phone is female. Since I am male, after I was asked for the phone number, I'd immediately say the name, my female relatives, forcing them not to ask my name. Clever. If they do question it, I'll just say it's my mother, sister, wife. One of the three. Then they ask for the last four digits of the SSN. Once you verify that, you have complete control. So at first, I simply deactivated my friend's phone because he wasn't going to pay the bill. It's funny how this guy has to go out and take care of Sprint's collection problems for them. Later, I needed a wireless phone, so again, using my deactivated phone, I called Sprint using star 2. After verifying the information, I said I wanted to reactivate the service and switch the phone. I happened to have another Sprint PCS phone. I told them the ESN number on that phone. The rep then walked me through how to reprogram the phone, which consisted of some unknown number and my friend's PCS phone number. 2 minutes later, my old Sanyo 5000 with color photo caller ID, was back to life with my friend's number. I could now call as him, check his voicemail, and also use the phone as a 14.4 wireless modem. This is interesting because someone could just buy a Sprint PCS phone, use star 2 to call support, and activate it with someone else's service relatively easy. They'd have access to the internet anonymously as well. Pretty interesting. That letter comes from JPX, so more intrigue in the world of Sprint phones. How about this? I have info on a secret Sprint rate plan. That's right, a secret Sprint rate plan. The rate is $49.95 per month for 1,300 anytime minutes and also 3,000 peak minutes. Oh, no, I'm sorry, off-peak minutes. All right, so 1,300 anytime minutes, 3,000 off-peak minutes. The off-peak period starts at 8 p.m. Free long distance is also included. If you call Sprint and ask for this rate, they will deny it is offered. The only way you can get the plan is to complain many times to Sprint about call clarity, billing errors, etc. Then cancel and tell them you are switching to VoiceStream to their 3,000 anytime minutes for $50. They will then transfer you to the cancellation department, who will offer you a free month. Then, if that is not good enough, they offer you the rate plan sometimes. I wonder what this person did to know all this information. If they do not offer you the new rate plan, you can simply take the free month. Then, in the middle of the conversation, hang up. Yeah, then call back and make sure you call back into the same department. If you get the same person, just hang up again. If you get another person, tell them that whoever you talked to before had just offered you the special user retention rate plan. You can describe the cost in the minutes, but as usual, their crappy network dropped the call. Tell them to put it in the computer and see if it is in the notes. Also, mention the free month. It helps them believe you. When we did this, my buddy had been offered the rate plan outright, but when he called pretending to be me, several reps denied the plan was real to him, even though they had sold him the plan the night before. Finally, we got the truth out of them, and I am on the new rate plan. So, yeah, that's what people are figuring out. And that I was asked to give credit to Mr. D in Texas for coming up with that one. So, boy.
How many minutes?
1,300 anytime and 3,000 off-peak.
I think that's more minutes I've used in my life.
Yeah, and it's approaching the number of minutes in the month anyway, so it's you have to wonder. We have an interesting, really interesting story about unlimited calling, which it's sort of an investigation in progress, which we're going to be part of in a minute. But I wanted to also touch upon something else we mentioned last week, and that was digital television. We got quite a bit of mail on that. This person writes in to say, first of all, the broadcasters got the DT frequencies, this digital television frequencies, gratis, no cost. The DT stations tend to be something like KTLA, Los Angeles's Tribune-owned station, which is Channel 5 analog, and something like 31 digital. WTTW, one of a few PBS stations in Chicago metro area, is Channel 11 analog and Channel 47 digital. There are multiple possible sub-channels for the stations. For example, WTTW will have four sub-channels of high definition labeled A, B, C, and D. KTLA's major broadcasting is on 31 I'm not sure what that means. It's on 31.1. I'm not sure what that means. As of right now, every commercial broadcaster is broadcasting a digital TV signal. Non-commercial stations go digital no later than next year. And supposedly everything will be digitalized in the next couple of years. And that's when things start to really change. And that's the point I was trying to make last week. I don't know where this is going to wind up. If you look at some of the channel allocations here, for instance, New York City, WCBS TV is known as Channel 2 to most of us. But WCBS DT, which is what it's called now, is Channel 56. So does that mean that little 2 with the CBS eye is now going to be a 56? How about Channel 4, which is WNBC? They're Channel 28. Yeah. Channel 5 is now Channel 44. Channel 7 is now Channel 45. You see, sometimes they come right after each other. Channel 9 is Channel 38. Channel 11 is Channel 33. And Channel 13 is Channel 61. So I don't know how this is all going to work out. It just seems really, really bizarre. Since many television stations rely on their channel number as part of their identity, it just seems to me like we're going to face some kind of identity crisis in the broadcast world, which I look forward to, but I don't know how many other people will be looking forward to that. Okay, what else do we have? Here's a question. This person's emailing us concerning off-the-hook shows available for download at 2600.com. I'm asking your permission to sell discs containing these shows on various internet media. The little profits made from such sales will go into cost and effort, cost being the price of the discs and or case, and effort being the time spent on the indexing of the shows and their descriptions. I was planning to do this in my spare time, but I thought it might be a good idea to share such information as well. Well, I've got a problem with this one. How about you, Mike?
It's up to you.
No, this is a discussion, Partake in the discussion.
We should have a vote.
Well, okay, fine. Have a vote. I think giving away information is good. And sharing information, but when you start to make a profit off of someone else's stuff,
I don't think they should do it.
But why?
Because they're making a profit off of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe if you could work out a deal with them or something.
But, yeah, well,
I mean, you own the copyright or whatever.
Well, so. Yeah,
we could get into copyright issues.
Uh-huh. Yeah, the thing is, I encourage people to take our shows and put them everywhere they want to put them, put them on all the websites that they can find that they have a right to do that to, obviously. But once you start making it a product that you actually are selling, that's when it starts getting into crazy ground. It's similar to, if we look at the music world, what we've been talking about as far as, people listening to music, it's a good thing to share music. It's a good thing to hear something new from somebody else. But if you, for instance, decide that you like certain songs on a CD and you burn them onto another CD and you start selling that CD on the corner, that's when you you're only selling it for the cost of the time it took you to make it, but it's still something that, you've turned it from a sharing thing into a business thing, and that's where I have a problem. Hold on, Jim, let me figure out what your mic is. There you go.
Yeah, I got a more of a copyleft approach to this, which is that let's take somebody who decides to go whole hog.
Mm-hmm.
They make up a CD of a given show, and they provide a transcript.
Mm-hmm.
And let's say, argument's sake, they sell it for $100. Obviously, very few people are going to buy that. Somebody will undercut them, all right? Eventually, it'll get down to something relatively reasonable. Somebody will just load the show onto the CD,
mm-hmm.
and out of the goodness of the heart, during their spare time, do a transcript and provide it for the cost of photocopying the paper, okay? Mm-hmm. It increases the dissemination, and the profit of the guy that makes the profit is not out there. Now, if he's the only one that does it, fine. He's just, advancing the show to people who wouldn't see it otherwise. Those shows are still on the 2600 website.
Mm-hmm.
People can still get them for free.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like we're giving somebody an exclusive to put the shows out to the public.
Mm-hmm.
All right. As long as those shows are still on the website, my opinion is let anybody do whatever they want to these shows, as long as they don't say it's theirs, because sooner or later somebody will undercut them or people will just go to the site and get them for free.
Sound good? Okay. Great. They're passing notes. They're not even paying attention. okay. How about this? So that's the issue as far as that goes. But we welcome all kinds of feedback and opinions. On the off chance you haven't heard of this yet, this is a different topic. I saw the following at the NetWorld exhibit at Chicago's Museum of Science and Industry when I visited this past weekend. Online Outlaw. Yeah, this is in the Chicago's Museum of Science and Industry. Kevin Mitnick, one of the most notorious crackers in U.S. history, spent 15 years causing computer mayhem until he was finally arrested in 1995. Released from prison in 2000, he now champions using internet know-how for good causes, not costly crime. Isn't that great how propaganda finds its way into museums? So anyone in the Chicago area, you might want to stop in and take a look at that one, have a good laugh. And I'm sure Kevin will be pleased to know that Chris is here. How you doing?
Another interesting thing.
Hang on, your mic's not working. There we go.
Another interesting thing as far as museums and misinformation is the Smithsonian still describes Marconi as the inventor of the radio, even though the Supreme Court overturned his patent on that early last century.
Yeah, that's true. Well, anyway, moving on. We're going to take phone calls in just a couple of moments. This person just got their copy of Freedom Downtime. He says it kicked ass. You guys continue to do good work. I especially like how the film covered other hackers' problems with the authorities, not just Kevin Mitnick's. That letter comes from Matt. Thanks very much for your feedback. We've been getting lots of feedback from the film, which recently was released. And hang on, you guys are back. What's up?
Yeah, we're back. Have you gotten any bad feedback from the movie?
Not really. No. I mean, you know, some people said it wasn't long enough.
Oh, okay.
No, I haven't really heard. I like to hear criticism. There's no question about that. But yeah. I have not heard, you know, anything other than, you know, I would have liked to have seen this issue gone into a bit more. But nobody has really come up to me and said, boy, that sucks. You know, no, that's really awful. Which well, I'm good. Not sure if, you know, I'm not sure if that's what most films get at some point. If it is, then that's what I want. You know, I want the same thing that other filmmakers get. What else? Well, I guess we might as well go into the investigation right here, because this is something I think is of interest. And since we're on the subject of telephones, this might be a very interesting story to pursue on everyone's agenda. www.theneighborhood.com. I'm going to wait for everybody to click their browsers and get to that, okay? Because that's what we're talking about here. We were sent, actually a couple people sent us mail on this one. This person asks if we know about the new MCI plan at www.theneighborhood.com. All right. Is it a scam? They offer one monthly price for local and unlimited phone calls. Signed, Tom. Well, it's basically a site that says that you can get more calls, more features, more freedom. And there's this big quote box to the left that says, the power to speak is our right as humans. Like it's some kind of a cause, you know, some kind of a, you know, something that people have fought for is the right to make calls in MCI. But basically, listen to how they describe it, and then we'll decide together if this is a good deal or a bad deal. There's a place where people talk to one another as long as they want, whether they're next door or across the country. It's called The Neighborhood. A new nationwide local phone company that believes in your right to talk longer, call farther, and speak freely. Yes. Unlimited long-distance calls. Unlimited local calls. One company for everything. Call waiting. Caller ID. Speed dial 8 and three-way calling at no extra charge. And unparalleled voicemail. Unparalleled voicemail, yeah. Okay, so there's two options here. Two options that you can get. One of them is called Neighborhood Complete, and I think that's the one we're going to focus on, because that includes unlimited long-distance calls, whereas the other one is Neighborhood Choice. Neighborhood Choice does not include long-distance calls. That one costs $32.99 a month. Neighborhood Complete costs $49.99 per month. Yeah. I don't know. What do you think? You think that's too much to pay to make every single phone call in this country that you would possibly make in a month?
No, you sold me on all that.
Yeah. Okay. I think we should call and ask. Let's see, you know, just make sure that there's no hidden agendas here or anything like that. They have, I think, an 877 number.
Corporate America of having hidden agendas?
Well, sometimes, you know, sometimes it just happens that way. You know, it's not really their fault.
It's just an accident.
Yeah. So let's just make sure that it's what it says it is. Calling the 877 number. See if we can get a human being. That'd be good. Or
thank
even
you for calling
computer.
The neighborhood, the place where local and long-distance calls are unlimited. To see if you are eligible for this exciting new product, please enter your home telephone number, starting with the area code.
Ah, you have to be eligible. Okay, what number should we enter? Let's enter the 2600 office.
You entered 6-3-1-7-5-1-2-6-0-0. If this is the number you are calling about, press 1. If... Thank you. One moment, please.
Sure.
Thank you for calling the neighborhood, built by MCI. Your call may be taped for coaching and development of our associates.
Oh, boy. Okay, our music has been replaced. So while we...
Hello?
Hello. Yes,
hi.
Can you hear me? Sorry, yeah. I have a bad connection. I was just wondering, I just had a very quick question. Now, I just saw something on the website, this $49.99 deal.
Uh-huh.
That is really unlimited calls, like I can call anywhere in the country?
Yeah, you can call anywhere in the country, talk as long as you want,
uh-huh.
And it's never going to cost you more than $49.95.
Okay, and now, do the other people have to be subscribed to MCI or anything
not at
like
all,
that?
Not at all.
Okay.
You talk as long as you want and everything. Local tow and long distance, and then also you get 5 features with it.
Mm-hmm.
You get caller ID and call waiting, 3-way calling, speed dial aid, and voicemail. Those are all for the $49.95.
And I basically have to, my local phone service has to be through MCI as well.
Yes, it does.
Okay, so basically I have to change, do I have to notify my local phone company about this?
We take care of all of that, and it doesn't cost you anything either.
Okay, now are there additional charges locally above the $49.99 that
I have to pay? No, it's going to be taxes and surcharges,
mm-hmm.
But there's no any hidden fees or anything like that. It's basically the same taxes and surcharges you're paying with your local company and your long-distance carrier together.
Now, let's say I use this service a lot. Would I get a penalty like in a year or something?
We'll break it into the local market.
Uh-huh.
We've just set up market in 50 states, and this is a plan that could be offered by every major telephone company,
mm-hmm.
But they don't do it.
Ah.
So we're going to do it, and we're going to treat you right because we're tired of competing against cellular phones and calling cards. This is a good way to do it.
Yeah. Okay, so basically if I was to get the service and pick up the phone and make a phone call and not get off that phone call for a year, I would still be able to pay the $49.99 next year.
Yep,
okay.
Every month. Yeah, can I sign you up?
I'm going to think about this. I'm probably going to call you back later on tonight.
Can I call you back?
You can try, sure.
What's a good time?
How about 10 o'clock?
Okay, I'll do that.
All right.
And what time do you have it there right now?
Right now it's 8:30.
Okay.
All right. Thanks thanks very much for the information. And before you give out any more personal information about yourself, that we're going to cut that off, and we'll see how she deals with our voicemail when she calls us.
That was very cheery.
Yeah, she was very cheery and very aggressive, too, I might add, you know.
She's going to call the station?
No, yeah. She's going to call the 2600 number I put
in. Oh, okay. Yeah, okay.
So,
I got lost.
Basically, I don't know, what do you think? $49.99, unlimited, no hidden surcharges? Well, except for the surcharges that aren't hidden that you have to pay every month anyway.
How do I get this?
Are you paying attention or not?
No, I'm not.
All right, well, we'll talk to you later.
I want to get this when I go home.
Go to theneighborhood.com, and I guess that's all the information. If there's something hidden in there, I don't see it yet. You know,
yes.
They do ask if you qualify. You know, maybe, hey, would this BAI qualify? Let's see if BAI qualifies. We'll call that number once again. I forgot what the number was.
See if you can ask about local number portability also.
I saw that in here. There is a charge for local number portability, which means keeping your same phone number. But I don't think it's a very big charge.
It's probably what they have to pay the ILEC.
Yeah. Okay, now we're going to put BAI's phone number in there. That number, by the way, is 1-877-777-6271. MCI is always like sevens.
Thank you for calling the neighborhood, the place where local and long-distance calls are unlimited. To see if you are eligible for this exciting new product, please enter your home telephone number, starting with the area code.
See, it's a home, but if you live at BAI...
You entered 212-209-2900. If this is the number you are calling about, press 1. Thank you. One moment, please.
This should be good.
We're sorry. The neighborhood is not currently available in your area. To learn more about MCI's latest long-distance calling plans and promotions, please hold the line. Otherwise, simply hang up.
I'm going to simply hang up. The neighborhood is not available. Oh, that's great. I don't know why, but they don't have a business plan, just a residential plan. But, you know, that might be, how can they tell the difference? Maybe they're looking up our, hey, that's a way to find out if a line is a business line or not, isn't it? If that's what they're doing. Hmm. So we could call up and put in a business number, and we can try that. Well, we don't have time to do that, but that's what our listeners can do. 212-209-2900, as you just heard, is our phone number, so we'll be taking phone calls in just about a minute. We had a lot of feedback also for a news story we put up on the 2600 site last week concerning an interview with the CEO of Turner Broadcasting, who actually, get this, he actually referred to people who skip commercials when they watch TV as people who commit theft. That's right. Yes, they actually think that you have the obligation, since you're watching the program for free, forget the fact that you pay for cable. We'll just forget about that right there. Even if you're watching over a broadcast, you have the obligation to sit there and watch what they're trying to sell you. Unbelievable. This person writes in, just been reading the page about skipping commercials being theft. How absurd. If it was illegal to skip commercials, I would sit and make a note of all companies that advertise and then refuse to buy any of their products just to make a point. Just like when I receive email spam, I reply stating that I will now not buy any products from that company due to unsolicited email from them. The world is not insane, only some of the people on it. Unbelievable. So, yeah, that's some of the mentality that's going on out there. Yes, Jim?
Yeah, well, I've got an idea. Let's have our listeners watch the guy who's the head of what, Turner Broadcasting?
Mm-hmm.
Let's have our listeners watch every Turner station, make a list of who's advertising, and send them in so we can suggest who we boycott.
You know how many Turner stations there are?
Well, we'll just we'll just pick a few major advertisers.
And they're all owned by Time Warner. So it's like,
oh, they are.
It just never ends. Yeah.
Well, I guess we're just going to be boycotting everything, and it's going to be Frontier House out here.
That's what it winds up being. All right, should we take a phone call? Yeah, we got a full switchboard here, so let's do that. Let's go over there. Good evening. You're on the air. Speak up, please. Okay, well, that's too bad. Let's try this one. Good evening. You're on the air. Are you there?
Yeah.
You speak up.
Hi, how you doing?
Okay, what's up?
I have a question about computers. Can I ask you a question about computers?
Sure.
Okay, I back up my hard drive with another hard drive. And I tried to back up Windows XP onto another hard drive. But when I put that hard drive in to see if it works, it doesn't work. But with other operating systems like 98 and me, it works.
Well, this sounds like a question better suited for the personal computer people tomorrow night, but let me just ask, what kind of error do you get when you say it doesn't work?
What I mean is that the it won't boot up.
Okay, so it's probably something that's not being copied that it needs.
No, I've been doing this for years.
Uh-huh.
It's just that with XP, it doesn't work.
So there's something different about XP that that is new. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I just was wondering if you guys could...
Does anybody here use XP?
Not yet.
Yeah.
Chris, you do?
Yeah, XP is based on the NT operating system, which uses a different bootloading system than 98 and ME do. So what you'll need to use a program that copies the disk at a lower level, or at least is aware of those files. I definitely recommend you call the personal computer show, and they can probably recommend something for you.
Have you used 2000? No.
What does he mean by a lower level? The copies at a lower level.
The one way you could do that is if the hard drives are identical, you can simply make a sector-for-sector copy of the entire hard drive.
But that's what I do.
If you're doing that, I would be surprised that it wasn't working.
It could be.
I'd say call the computer show tomorrow. Yeah. They're on from the same time, 8 to 9, and they answer questions like this all the time.
It could be something as simple as switching the boot flag on using FDisk on that particular partition.
No, I use the disk that comes with the hard drive actually for cloning and also use Ghost.
Hmm. All right, yeah, I guess I would suggest calling the personal computer guys.
Yeah, they're more geared toward this kind of a thing, but you know, we'll ask around as well, and if we hear something, if we get any mail, we'll certainly read that next week. Thanks for calling. Let's go over here. Good evening. You're on the air. Speak up.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I have a question. I needed to know the name of someone who was on the air today, and he wrote a book. I need to know his name and the name of his book. He was on like around noontime.
Okay, you're going to have to call the office, 212-209-2800, during business hours, and they can help you with information about other programs. Thanks for calling. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I have a question about computers, actually. I hope it's not too complicated or anything.
Okay, well, give it a shot.
Okay, basically, I was F-disking my hard drive, you know, to fix a problem that I was having with the virus. And there's like a name, a volume name, and there's like Greek. It's like all of these. Usually it's empty. Usually all you do is you press enter, and then it F-disks the hard drive, and then you can reboot Windows and reboot DOS and all that. But mm-hmm. Now there's like all this Greek stuff in there. And
well, I don't think it's really Greek. It's probably some kind of corruption.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. I mean, if it was, I can't, like, you know, if it was like a normal letter or a normal number, I could type that number or a letter. But this is stuff that I can't type on my keyboard.
Uh-huh.
So I tried running a scan disk, and it told me that there was still an error. So I was just wondering if you had any ideas on what to do or what the next step should be.
This is why I hate computers.
That could be a lot of things.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, we have to really like see it in front of us to know exactly what little nuances are going on here.
Well, it's the label name is what it is. The label name, usually it's empty.
Is it just the label name or is anything else corrupted?
No, just where it says label name,
okay.
It shouldn't have anything written in there. Because,
uh-huh.
You know, I effed up like five old computers that I had in my house.
Uh-huh.
And just this one was actually connected to, I had DSL on this one, and there was a network card. And when I tried to F this one, nothing would work. I tried running Norton's, that didn't work. I mean, I did Norton's 2002, it didn't work.
The F-disk that comes with many versions of Linux doesn't have these issues, if you try that.
I'm sorry, could you repeat that, please?
Sure, there's a version of F-disk that comes with many installations of Linux, and it doesn't have these silly issues with disk labels.
Oh, really? Winx, you said. W-I-N-E-X?
No.
Linux. It's an operating system. It does stuff.
I don't think he's running Linux, though, is he?
Well, but you could just put the boot disk in and just run F-disk without installing it.
Okay, so Linux as an L-I-N-U-X, right?
Yes. Yeah, okay. Give that a shot.
Okay. Thank you very much, sir.
All right. Good luck.
Thanks.
I don't know. How do we turn into a help desk? Okay, listen, folks. If you have computer problems, call the personal computer show because that's what they deal with. Not necessarily problems, but also, you know, advances and things as well. But, you know, we'll try to answer your questions, obviously. But
and
we're not the best people to ask. Well, we break things. We don't fix things. Good evening. We're on the air.
Yeah. Toll-free directory.
Oh, listen to who it is. It's that guy again.
Toll-free directory.
He's going to tell us about toll-free directory not being open late at night, I'll bet. Is
right.
that what you're
going to
tell us? Because you wouldn't stop talking about this.
On.
You wouldn't stop talking about this at the meeting, so I figured you're probably going to call up on Tuesday night and say the same thing that you said to everybody at the meeting on Friday. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, and that basically directory. Is going to be that toll-free directory information, 555-1212 in the 800 area code. Does not stay open late at night. He wasn't quite clear as to what that meant exactly.
What it means is that
whether it meant that they closed at a certain time, or maybe they're closed over the weekend, or
right,
something
exactly,
like that.
They're closed over the weekend.
I wasn't very sure what he was talking about. I wish I could. Did you
Hello?
Hear that? That's very obnoxious to interrupt somebody with a touch tone. How dare you? Who do you think? I'm not a computer. You can't do that to me.
We're
I think you
sorry,
should do it back.
I don't understand what you pressed.
All right, I understand what you pressed, and I don't know if you understand the ramifications of that. Okay. All right, you have 30 seconds to tell us what you know.
Okay. When you call toll-free directory now, you don't get, you know, it's not 24 hours. They close, they're open from like 8 a.m. to like 9 p.m. and they're not open on weekends. And you then, if you try calling during the off hours, you get the annoying computer or voice recognition, in which, you know, you have to speak to it and stuff, and sometimes it doesn't understand, or sometimes, you know, if you're calling from a noisy place like a payphone, it doesn't do anything because it doesn't understand. And speaking of payphones also, they now ask for 50 cents and more. Bell Operating Company payphones.
All right, you're rambling now, and your 30 seconds is up. We're going to try the 800 information, all right? We're going to see. You know, we're going to talk. We're going to actually have a conversation with an 800 information operator. See how far this goes.
Nobody talks anymore because when they.
Well, we're going to talk. We're going to talk, all right? And we're going to see what they say in return, because there's got to be a human over there someplace, all right?
Yeah, but when they answer, they play a recording. Everything's a recording now.
We have ways of getting around that, all right?
No, wait a minute. When they say, can I help you?
Uh-huh.
They're playing a recording.
I know that. I've known that for 10 years.
Yeah, but also when they say something like, can you say that again, or whatever they want to say, they play a recording.
Rebel, I'm very well able to tell the difference between a computer and a human being. You know, I really am. And right now I know what I'm dealing with. it's a human being, but I'm going to be dealing with a computer, but then I will deal with a human being, okay? We're going to take care of this. Don't worry.
But also, all right? Payphones are becoming cold cuts now.
Well, that's something that maybe you should fight one-on-one. We're going to head over here now. Dial tone? No, that's a person. Let's get a dial tone over here. There we go. I must have called this number a million times in my life. You know, 1-800-555-1212.
What are you going to ask for?
Toll-free directory assistance powered by TellMe. Say the full name of the listing you want.
Yes, hi. I just had a question concerning whether or not directory assistance is open late at night, because I had heard that they close at night and maybe close at the weekend. And this is a concern to me because I'm going to be asking for some phone numbers later on at night. And I just wanted to know for sure if I could do that, or if it would be closed. I might have to like do it in the morning or on the weekday or something like that. Can you tell me if that's the case?
I'm sorry. I didn't get that. You can leave out extra information, such as location or department. Please say just the name of the listing you want.
No. I asked a very specific question here. I just need an answer to my question, that's all. I mean, you know. Is this a person?
Sorry, I'm not finding a match. Some companies don't list their toll-free numbers. It's possible that the number you want isn't listed. One moment and an operator will assist you shortly.
Boy, he was right. I was fooled totally.
For using toll-free directory.
I'd like to. I knew this day was going to come where they made something like this go away. It would just be a lot harder to use.
Thanks for holding. Your call will be answered in the order received, and it may be monitored for quality assurance.
Oh, we're monitoring, all right. It'll be answered by the one remaining operator they have hired.
Operator might ask you for more information about the listing you want, such as a department.
Hello? Is anybody there? Dead silence. Hello?
I'm sorry, the request again?
Okay, sorry. I'm just trying to find out if 800 information closes at a certain time, because I'm going to be using it later on tonight, and I wanted to know.
Okay, as far as live operators, it will be closed as of 10 p.m. Daylight savings, Eastern Daylight Time, but there will be the automated system that's in place for the rest of the night.
What about weekends?
That would be the automated system also.
Really? What if an 800 number doesn't show up as the voice automated thing? Because I know a lot of them don't.
Yeah. Then you have to call back Monday.
Wow. Is this a new thing?
Oh, yes.
Really?
Yes.
How new is this?
Which, the closing?
Yeah.
That was the beginning of April.
Oh, wow.
Started this.
And I really prefer the human operators to this computer thing that they have, but I'm sure you hear that a lot.
Yes, and we agree.
Okay. Well, best of luck to you.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, That's what they do. They eliminate human beings and replace them with computers that can't provide you with the same information. I have to tell you, this 800 service that is run by TellMe does not list every single 800 number there is. I'm not sure exactly how companies that have 800 numbers get listed there, but a lot of them, especially the smaller ones, that voice recognition simply will not get them. So you'll have to wait for a certain time, a certain day, to make your request for the phone number that that you want to get. It's pretty pathetic. So thanks, Rebel, for pointing that out to us. Maybe people can do something about this and get toll-free information back. Of course, they'll probably say, well, it's free, you know, you have no right to complain. Well, you know, basically the whole phone system is filled with all kinds of ways of compensating for the things that are free, and there's all kinds of fees they charge you now for calling from pay phones when you call an 800 number. It's, you know, it's insane. We shouldn't be swallowing any of this garbage. 212-209-2900 is our phone number. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Hi, a few things. I have the Sprint 800 number if you want that.
Did we need that?
I don't think
so. You said it a minute ago.
Oh, you mean the number for Claire?
Yeah, Claire.
Okay, yeah, give us that.
1-888-211-4727.
Okay, thanks.
And the family plan, the MCI plan, the neighborhood, you can also collect Delta miles on it.
You can collect Delta miles, eh?
Yeah, on top of that.
How do you do that?
You just tell them that you're a Delta Airlines member, and you give them your member account.
No, but how do you? Is it collected per minute or per month?
I think it's per dollar.
Okay, so but it's a set amount. So
it's a set amount because it's a set plan.
Uh huh. Okay, so it doesn't matter if you don't make any phone calls, then you'll get this no matter what.
You'll still, yeah, as long as you're with signed up with that service.
Okay, I see. Interesting. Well, I'm sure. Do you have that service yourself?
I don't. I know someone who has it and uses it.
And you've actually heard them make phone calls with it?
Yes.
Okay, so it really does exist.
So it does exist. They used to have one, like 6 months ago.
Uh huh.
For like a test market.
Uh-huh.
But then they canceled it abruptly.
Interesting.
Like they gave like 3 months notice and said, that's it. We're not having it.
Well, according to them, every single company can offer the service, but they're the only ones doing it.
I don't think it's possible because each call costs money.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but each call also costs less money than it ever did before because actually, basically, calls have always not cost as much as they've charged us for them. Now it's just become a bit more competitive, and they're charging close to what it actually does cost. You have to ask yourself, though, calls cost 10 cents a minute for the most part anywhere in the country. You can probably get half that rate. Mike, the mathematician here, can probably figure this out. But if 10 cents a minute, what is it, 10 minutes would be a dollar, and to make it up to $50, which is what this rate is, how many hours would that be? 50 hours.
Not quite.
Not quite?
500 minutes is more than 50 hours.
Okay. Yeah, that's true. All right, why don't you figure that out, and we can figure out what the break-even point will be. We're not very good at this, but it's a question as to whether or not that's you know, worth the money expended. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, you already have a cell phone, which uses a lot of minutes, especially at nighttime.
See, that would be a good service for a cell phone.
Yeah, but...
You know? Because they always, like, get you somewhere. Like, I had a service with VoiceStream where I had unlimited amount of local minutes, but then I didn't have long-distance minutes, and I didn't have airtime, and there's all kinds of different things that they can hit you with.
Yeah, I have VoiceStream now. I'm using the family plan, and I gave a phone out to my girlfriend who lives out of state.
Oh, is that technically family?
It's, yeah. They don't care as long.
Well, I mean, they might not care now.
As long as you can trust them with your phone, they're pretty much family.
Well, I hope that holds up in court.
Yeah, the only requirement is that all the phones go on the same physical account, so they all get billed together. So you have to be careful who
they
you
don't
get
do the
to.
Blood test anymore.
Yeah, who you give it to, you got to trust because they can really rack up your phone if they wanted to.
And is that what happened?
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying.
Well, good for you then.
It's unlimited calling between the two phones.
Right.
VoiceStream to VoiceStream.
Right. But if you get bored with the person you're talking to and you want to call somebody else, then you got to start paying.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Can you have more than one other person in your family?
Yes, but each extra phone costs another $10.
Uh-huh. I see. So you can have one family member in one city, and then when you don't want to talk to that person, you can have another family member in a different city, and just keep... Yeah, I see what's going on.
Or anyone who's... Or any other VoiceStream cell phone customer.
There is a requirement that all the phones on the family plan have to be in the same area code.
Oh, well, I didn't know that. Okay.
Well, actually, they have to all be in the same region.
Actually, I gave the... What you do is you sign up the phone, mm-hmm. you make your first call to initiate it, and then you can send it to wherever in the country. And as long as one of the accounts has 10% of the call volume.
Oh, boy.
Then, so as long as I make 10% of the call volume, the VoiceStream will keep it going.
All right, this is...
10% of the call volume in the home calling area.
Mm-hmm.
But so, the number for both phones are in the home calling area, correct?
Both phones are in the same home calling area. They have to be.
Right, however, so you can't have two phones on the plan that each have different area codes.
Yes. Actually, they do.
You need a college degree to figure all this out. You know that. It's insane.
Actually, I have two different... I have a 917 and a 718.
Mm-hmm.
But it's in the same calling area, just different area code.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I don't know. So it's basically, you know, I like the idea of just having a set rate, you know, where you don't have to do all these calculations and figuring out 10% phone calls and area codes and that kind of thing. I don't know. It's a bit more than most people want to deal with. So simplicity, I think, is the best thing. Anyway, thanks for that number. Let's give that a call now and see if we can. The deal was we call that number, and then when Claire picks up, we simply say, "This is a waste of time," and then she's supposed to transfer us to an operator. Let's see if that actually happens.
Can I say it?
I guess you can say it, but you got to say it, you know, like you mean it.
Like you just said it.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I didn't really mean it. You got to wait for her to actually answer the phone.
Welcome to Sprint PCS. For English, press 1. Para español, presione 2. You can also access your account information at www.sprintpcs.com. Please enter your 10-digit Sprint PCS telephone number.
Okay, I guess I do that off air. That way we get Claire to actually pick up the phone.
Please hold while we connect your call.
Okay.
Hi, this is Claire, your virtual service representative.
This is a waste of time!
Sorry, I didn't understand.
Now you see, that didn't work. This is a waste of time!
Let me get some other information.
Okay, this isn't working. Obviously, she's not falling for it. I don't know. Maybe this person has a special tone in his voice when he does it, but...
He should send us a recording.
Yeah, send the recording. Maybe we can sell it or something.
Be like Redbox.
Yeah, that'll be the answer to annoying voicemail things.
Maybe
okay.
That was a waste of time.
That was a waste of time. It was. And we're not going to waste any more time because we're out of time. So we'll be back again next week, though, with our expanded show for fundraising purposes starting at 7 p.m.
For 5 hours.
Running until... Well, actually, we're not on for 5 hours. We're on for 3 hours. Nuff Said is on for 2 hours. We're going to stick around for Nuff Said, and Nuff Said is going to stick around for us. So we'll be around for 5 hours, but we'll be on for actually three. It'll be on the website if you lost track of all that. But until then, we'll be preparing this and thinking of interesting things to do for those expanded hours. Have yourself a safe week, and send us email oth@2600.com. Good night.
Tarzan walking up at the mall. Up walked the girlfriend, said you had the gall to bring my name up again. Looking for salvation, we had an ice cream soda. I said, have you ever wondered what became of Uncle Bill? We were peeling potatoes back in World War II, and we was playing that rock and roll after school for you know who. Hidden from the public, it was behind the scenes. There was a relic they called the purple hair. I was eating a taco. I looked across the room. I saw a girl in a red dress. She said she'd like to do me in. I left the waiter a tip. I stand before the door. I said you might have loved me, but now there's nothing more. She's always on my trail. She really likes to kill. I keep her lovely picture on my windowsill. I was just a cowboy without a show. I was like the kind of guy you never really know. You won't forget me, no matter how hard you try. And when it's my time to go, I'll wave goodbye. Sing yourself a melody, quiet tear of joy.
Your children.